Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this week's message. We're always encouraged to know what God is doing through this ministry to transform lives. If you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending an email to connect@bedfordfirstag.org. For more information about Bedford First Assembly and to watch the live stream of our services, visit www.bedfordfirstag.org.
Give him a welcome, would you? Bless you.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, church. Love you guys. Appreciate you so much. It's so good to be back. I'm whistling a little bit there. All right. My ladies just need to be up, down. It's so good to be back. It's so wonderful to be in Bedford and be here at the church. And it's so neat to be back in this building, huh? It was a long time ago since we've been in here. But it's such a joy to be back. And do I have my PowerPoint going? Can we put that on up there? So we have a picture of us. And I tell everybody that's from our prayer card. That's our empty nest prayer card. So we have three daughters. Sorry, I don't have a picture up there of all of them. But we're empty nesters now. And people often ask, is that difficult? And we say, no. we're doing great. So our youngest is Sarah. She's here with us. So Sarah, you want to stand? Yeah, you do. In fact, she said she was going to do the message today. So she's preaching in about 5 minutes. So she's 20. She's finished university. So we're very happy about that. For your parents, you know how expensive university is. So we're so glad she's finished with that. And she has took a job in Peoria, Illinois. So she won't be too far from you. Hopefully you'll see her once in a while. She'll get back over here to Bedford. And she's dating a young guy named Ryan. So Ryan, I'm going to stand up, say hello. This is Ryan. Okay. And I'm giving you permission to ask him any awkward questions you want to ask after service. Okay, so just give him all the questions you can think of. So, Carol, you want to come and share? Do we have a mic she can use? It's one of these.
Well, as Chris introduced us, most of you already know us, and we're happy to be here. This church has supported us. We were here for 8 years, and then we've been on the field 17 for over, basically, if you count all of that time, we've been part of the church for 25 years. And just greatly appreciate lots of you all have supported us individually, or helped with projects and prayed for us, and then all of you who help with missions. We just really appreciate all you have done for us in all of this time. Last week, we were in West Lafayette, and we were there for 4 days for a missions-type thing. And because we were there so long, even though I try very hard to not get out of my seat, I end up having to share something. And they had asked they've heard Chris, and how I had gotten called to missions, or how when I felt the timing for that was ready. And it just brought back a memory, which I've shared with you before, some of you may remember, of when we were going through to get appointed, and how stressful and overwhelming it was for me. Even though God had told me it was time, sometimes making that transition can be a little bit more difficult than you plan. So it was very difficult for me. And the Lord gave me a scripture, which I've shared before, but I wanted to share it again. Let me put my glasses back. And you'll recognize it as a common scripture, but I just wanted to say something about it today. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. And when I looked this scripture up again, just to refresh, in the study commentary, they focused on two words, ways and acknowledge. And ways, they kind of refer to things that are repetitive, like your days, each and every day. And then with acknowledge, it talked about your intimacy and direct contact with God. Those weren't the two words that when the Lord gave me this scripture that I focused on. What I focused on was lean not on your own understanding. Because at that time in my life, I was just struggling with doing things myself. And I think if you think of that, the words lean not on your own understanding, and in all your ways acknowledge Him, I know from being in Bedford, and we talk to lots of people, and lots of you I'm closer to than others, and I just hear different things, and I know lots of us are struggling or having overwhelming situations in our life. Maybe we've lost someone, or maybe we didn't get a report that we wanted. Maybe we're doing a new job. Maybe someone's sick, or maybe you have a financial. There's 102 billion things that can come up in our lives that cause us stress, where we're wondering how we're going to get down this path. But let's look at this one more time. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. So don't try to figure it all out. I was trying to figure all that out, and that was really stressful. Don't try to handle it yourself, because you can't, and because we don't have the strength to handle it. So we have to give it to God. So lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, in every single day, acknowledge, have time with God, and He will direct your path. And if that path seems like you've got a lot of rocky gravel, maybe there's a bump, maybe there's a mountain, God, if you trust in Him, He's going to get you over that mountain, over that gravel, over that rocky path, and He's going to take care of you. But the key is to always acknowledge Him, to lean on Him. And so I just wish that for you. And you know what? If your path is perfectly smooth right now, there's plenty around you that could maybe you could take their hand and help them over. So anyway.
Praise the Lord. Well, hallelujah. Would you stand with me? If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Philippians 4 or look up here on the screen. There we go. All of you know this verse. You want to say it with me? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for today. I thank You for the opportunity to be back at home in our home church, and God, just all the beautiful people here that are serving You, following You, working out life through the ups and downs. And God, that You're with them, guiding them through all those circumstances of life. Lord, as we look into Your Word today, I pray that it would ring true in all of our lives, that we can do all things because Christ strengthens us. Lord, speak to us today. Bless the preaching of Your Word. We pray in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You can be seated. Hallelujah. The title of our message today is Dream Big. Dream Big. That picture is from 2002. And so Sarah's very little in that picture. 2002. How old were you, Sarah? 3 years old? Maybe four? Yeah, 4 years old at that point. And our shirt there, I'm sorry you can't read it, but it says Dream Big. So even then in 2002, that God had a big dream for our life, and that we were willing to follow Him and live that out. And today I want to encourage you that God has a big dream for your life. Amen? And at this stage, before we moved to France, when we were right here in this church, at steps that were right over there at that time at the altar, I remember kneeling on those steps and praying to the Lord, and saying, God, I'd go to the backside of the desert to reach 6 guys for You if that's what You need me to do. And I remember ever since Bible school praying another prayer from Psalm 2:8, where the Lord says, ask of Me, surely I'll give you the nations as your inheritance and the very ends of the earth as your possessions. And so as I said to the Lord, Lord, I'll go anywhere, I'll do anything. God, I would go to the backside of the desert to reach 6 guys if that's what You need me to do with my life. I also was always praying, God, give me a nation. Let me in my lifetime do something and serve in such a way that I can see a nation change for the glory of God. And I want to encourage you today that you can pray these same prayers. And it brings me to 2 important questions that I want to challenge you with today. And that is, what are you willing to do for Jesus? What are you willing to do? And then, what do you want to do for Jesus? So as I was praying, Lord, I'll just, if you need my whole life to be about reaching six guys that are in a desert place, God, I'll do it. But what I really want is to see a nation change. Amen? I don't want any of it to be taken that I'm bragging because it's all the Lord. Amen? It's not many of us who are mighty, who are chosen, or great. It's the God in us. We serve a great God. Amen? I remember an introduction of a man, and I can't remember his name now. He's long passed, but it was some kind of revival meeting, and he was a well-known speaker, very prominent guy in the church, and they gave this long introduction about all he'd done and everything, and they said, he's a great man of God, and he came up, and he said, I'm not a great man of God. He said, I'm just a man with a great God. Amen? And so we need to see life that way, whether God has done great things or whether your life has seemed simple, that we still have a great God and that we can do all things through Him. Amen? Hallelujah. So today I want to challenge you with this question. I hope this will challenge you today. I hope that you won't just end service and go, okay, that was okay, and it was good to see Pastor Chris, and let's go to lunch. I hope that you'll continue thinking about these questions through the next week and through the next month and maybe the rest of your life. What is it you're willing to do for the Lord? And you know, sometimes in church we'll come to the altar or in a service, we'll kind of pray a prayer that says, God, I'll do anything and I'll go anywhere. How many of you have prayed that kind of prayer? How many of you have prayed that kind of prayer? Really? Okay. Why don't everybody stand up? Hallelujah. Stand up. We're going to pray. This is like Christianity 101. You see, if you haven't prayed that prayer, how is Jesus Lord of your life? Amen? And so we really do need to pray that prayer. So next time a preacher says, have you ever prayed that prayer? You go, yeah, I prayed that prayer. No. We're not going to say anything to you. Just let the Lord say to you. But would you just close your eyes and lift up your hands and just repeat a prayer after me and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I would go anywhere and I would do anything for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Give yourself a hand. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You can be seated. Pastor, they just all got saved. I'm putting in my newsletter, First Assembly of God. They all got saved. Praise the Lord. That needs to be like a regular prayer of our life, really. Jesus, I'll go anywhere. I'll do anything. Right? If we're not praying that prayer, it may be a reason why there's still a lot of needs in our church and in our city. Because it's like if somebody's needed in the nursery, and you'll go anywhere and do anything. They're like, I'm ready for lunch now. Amen? Jesus is Lord of all, or He's not Lord at all. And so we got to pray this prayer, but at the same time, I want to say to you this morning that we need to define that. Because we can get away with just saying, oh Lord, I'll go anywhere and do anything, and then never really listening to where the Lord would have us to go and what He would have us to do. So today, I don't want you to just pray that prayer, Lord, I'll go anywhere and I'll do anything. But I want you to wrestle with, what are you willing to do for the Lord? Now, sometimes we said we'd be willing to do anything, but I can show you some people's lives that you would not be willing to live. Amen? That's the reality. So don't over-spiritualize and say, I'd be willing to do anything. No, in real terms, what are you willing to do for the Lord? What are you willing to suffer? And I don't mean in pain, but what are you willing to like walk away from in life to give glory to God? Not for the sake of walking away, not for the sake of telling a story, but for the sake of the glory of God. What would you walk away from in your life? And then what do you want to see happen? Amen? What is your nation? But what's the nation God's giving you? Maybe it is the nursery. Maybe it's the children. Maybe it's the teenagers. Maybe it's your city. Maybe it's a subgroup in the city. Maybe it's the Mexicans that are in the city. We stopped out yesterday and saw some guys fishing. I didn't ask them their nationality, but I think they were Vietnamese. So maybe God gives you the Vietnamese that are living in Bedford, however many there are. But what is your nation? What is God giving you? And so as we look at Paul in this scripture, he says, I can do all things. You might be saying, oh, Pastor Chris, I couldn't go do outreach to Vietnamese. No, you can do all things. Amen? Hallelujah. And so, I want us to look at this scripture in context because we like to pull it out like I did this morning and say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But when we look at it in context of what Paul was writing, we're going to see something a little bit different than the way we think about those words. First, Paul's writing this to the church of Philippi, and Paul's in prison. Paul's in prison when he writes this. So one of the things he's saying that's hidden in these words is he's saying, I can do prison if it's for Jesus. I can do prison. Hallelujah. So let's look in context. Sarah, you laughing at me? You want to come up and finish the sermon? Okay. Let's start back at verse 10. He says, I rejoice greatly that now at the last you have revived your concern for me. This is Paul in prison writing back to the church. He says, I'm thankful you're showing concern for me in my suffering. Indeed, you were concerned. In other words, he says, I'm sure you were always concerned, but you lacked opportunity. But now you've had the opportunity to send some assistance to me. And he's appreciating that. And he says, but I'm not speaking in respect of want or need. He says, I'm not correcting you, and I'm not saying I have any needs. For I have learned to be content in whatever circumstance I'm in. He's writing that from prison. And he's saying, I've learned to be content in every situation. I wouldn't be writing that. Some of y'all might be saying, well, just leave him there. But he's saying, I'm content in every circumstance. I know how to get along in humble means. And I know also how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret, hallelujah, of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I highlighted two words in those verses. He said, I've learned to be content, and he says, I've learned the secret. You know what it is to be content and to know the secret of what he's preaching? It's to do it all for the glory of God. Amen? So if your life is for God's glory, you can be content no matter what happens in your life. If you do it for God's glory, it is the secret of how to live life. How to live the God life. How to live the Jesus life. How to walk with the Lord. How to say in confidence, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So today, what are you willing to do for Jesus? What do you want to do for Jesus? Because we can say this in confidence, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I want to challenge you today to think of the big dream. And if you're here today saying, I don't have a big dream. I'm just living life. I'm just getting through. I'm just raising my kids, getting them off to college, and I'm going to buy a boat and go fishing. And that's great, but your life should have a big dream because you've been created for God's glory. Amen? Fishing is fun, but you haven't been created just for fishing. You've been created for God's glory. Amen? And so what is your big dream? And you can have a big dream because we have a big God. And so this morning, I want you to think again about those questions and in your own life, what is your big dream? I love this verse, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, but we often focus on that I part, and what is our big dreams? And I can do all things, and I want to do this, and I want to do that. And we have some dreams, and I wrote a few down that came to mind, and this might not cover them all, but covers the bulk of what we're dreaming about. And so in life, what are your dreams? And I'm talking here completely, not spiritual. Just in your secular life. What are your dreams? To have the dream job? I'm not here to bash these things. You want the dream job? That's great. We all want that. We all want to have this place that's a joy to go to work, and pays us a lot of money to do very little, right? Carol was reading a survey of millennials. And the number one thing they want in a job is time off. It's like, that's the opposite of the definition of a job. Did they define how much time they said they wanted? It was extreme. It was extreme when they were asked, I think, how much time they wanted off. So So what's your dream job? What's the dream family? We all want that. After so many years of raising three children, I've learned that every family's dysfunctional. So if yours is, don't feel too bad. Amen. Do what you can, but there's no dream families. We want the dream house. HDTV's ruined us all. Amen. We want the dream car. Some of you know the Medinas. I was with the Medina boys. They're in their early 20s. And they said, Pastor Chris, what's your dream car? And I thought for a minute. I said, well, probably a self-driving car for my 80th birthday, right? As you start to get older, you're not worried about the Ferrari, right? I want that one that, when I can't drive anymore, that drives itself. The dream boat or the dream motorcycle, the dream vacation. You know, these are the things that we have dreams of. And I'm not here today to bash your dreams or tell you you can't have them. But as we dream of these things and have these kind of goals, where are they at in your life? That's what's important. It's not important if you have any of these goals. Again, I'm not telling you today you got to give them up. But where they are is very important. And so we need to make these things in our life what I would say are like tier 2, tier 3, tier 4, whatever. So, you know, our family, our career, our home, whatever. They shouldn't be the most important thing in our life. And oftentimes, we get a goal and it can consume us. And it can become the most important thing. And it's often not the big dream. And during that time, the Lord took me to a scripture. Forgive me, all you Baptists. He took me to a scripture in Jeremiah 42. And as I was just reading, I came across this scripture, and it was like the Lord just speaking to me so powerfully. And it said, if you will indeed stay in this land, I will build you up and not tear you down, and I will plant you and not uproot you. It hit me so profoundly, I immediately wrote it down on a piece of paper. I taped it in front of my desk. It's there to this day. But during 2010, I would still continue to struggle with this and pray, God, am I supposed to leave? What would you want me to do in this circumstance? And I would open my eyes, and there would be that scripture. If you'll stay in the land, hallelujah, I'll build you up, not tear you down. And so, again, I share that with you to say that what had happened in my life, that had become the most important thing to me, is this crisis situation. And what I want to share with you today, there's nothing that should be on that tier one kind of goal of your life except one thing, and that's the glory of God. Not your house, not your boat, not your retirement, not even your own safety. There should be one thing that's most important in your life, and that is that your life glorifies God. There should be one overriding goal, and it is on that day when you depart this earth to hear, welcome. Amen? I've been waiting for you. I've prepared a place for you. Well done, my good and faithful servant. That should override everything else in our lives. And I'm not here today saying you shouldn't be dreaming for the house or the car or the job. I'm just saying, where is it at in your life? Amen? And so I want to bring you today to that place of struggling with what will you suffer for the Lord and what do you want to see the Lord do in your life? There's a scripture I love in Matthew 6, all of you know it. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things will be added to you. We often read through that scripture quickly. But I think it kind of goes like this. Seek first the kingdom of God. His righteousness. Seek to glorify God in everything you do. Oh, all that other stuff you want? If you'll do that, that stuff's no big deal. Amen? He'll add that to you. He'll add that to you. You need a new car? He'll add that to you. That's not the issue. The issue is seeking the kingdom. His righteousness, seeking for your life to bring glory to God, dreaming big the dream that the Lord has for your life, to change a nation, to shake a nation, to do something that would be honoring to the Lord in your life. In church, we talk a lot about, you know, having a vision or dream big or mission or goals, and I just want to share a little bit about that idea, and then again we'll look at how that should affect our lives. But we can get confused and just kind of merge them all together in vision and mission and dream and that. And so I'll just tell you the way I look at it, and Pastor can correct me next Sunday. and that's just that I look at vision as something that's impossible, really. When God gives you a vision, it should scare you to death because you say, well, I can't do anything about that. But then mission is taking a step in that direction. To say, I can't possibly see me doing anything about that, but I'll go anyway. Amen? And so vision is something that's huge. Mission is just taking a step in that direction. I came from a business background, and as you know, when I was on staff, I was working in this whole Midwest region, transportation of cement. And so I read a lot of business books. I still prefer business books. And so one of the terms I like in place of all the dreams and visions and mission and all that kind of stuff is the term BHAG. How many of you heard of BHAG? Nobody. Okay. All right, I got one. Praise the Lord. Well, it's from a Jim Collins book called Built to Last. I don't know if anybody's reading Jim Collins, but he's a great business writer. And in Built to Last, he takes a couple thousand companies, I guess, and he kind of goes through them, weeds through them, and he finds about a dozen or so that are really doing well decade after decade after decade. And so it's an interesting book. And one of the things he says that all those great companies had were a BHAG, and that is a big, hairy, audacious goal. And so it's a practical business term that still people refer to today, but I think it's a good term for us to look at as well. That something is huge, it's scary, yet it is clear and compelling. Amen? And so, in our lives, we've had a lot of BHAGs. And we maybe didn't know it at the moment, but as we walk with the Lord, He gives us things that are bigger than ourselves. Hallelujah. But since being home, I heard this song on the radio, Christian radio. The song's called Nobody. And it just really resonated with me. The main chorus line in it says, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Amen? And that's what we are. We're just, you know, we can have this BHAG. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Because we're just nobodies trying to tell everybody about somebody who saved our soul. Amen? Our BHAGs aren't just in the past. That's our responsibility. I can't tell you how many are going to get saved. Maybe we share with 10 million and not one gets saved. I don't believe that's going to happen. But if it did, it's still a worthy goal. Amen? And your goals are worthy if you're doing it for the glory of God, even if the results aren't what you want. I was talking to a minister just this week, and he shared with me, and he said, you know, we're doing really good here, but the long-term results, they haven't been all that great, you know. You say, well, but you're doing it for the glory of God. Amen? If you keep your attitude right, the results don't necessarily matter. We want results, but we do it for God's glory. What is your BHAG? What's the big thing that God wants to do in your life? What's the impossible thing? And what's the nation that you're asking the Lord for? We read in Acts chapter 2, verse 8, ask of me, surely I'll give you the nations as your inheritance. Your nation might be your family. You might say, I have two or three rascal kids I got to raise, and I want to raise them in a way that glorifies God. Maybe that's your nation. As I mentioned, maybe the nursery is your nation. But what is your nation? Do you have one? Well, today, if you don't have one, you don't have a big dream, I want to give you 4 points real quick. If what I'm saying resonates with you. If you're saying, wow, Pastor Chris, that's great. I should have a nation. I should have a big dream, but I don't know what that is. I want to share with you 4 points real quick. And hopefully it'll be something that'll help you achieve that in your life. Come to that place of knowing. So number one, you got to know God has a big dream for your life. You got to know what I'm preaching today is true. What I'm preaching today isn't just for Pastor Chris or Pastor Steve, Pastor Bill. It's for everyone in the room. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. So you got to know that God's got a big dream for your life. He says it plainly. I know the plan. I know the BHAG that I have for you, declares the Lord. There are plans for welfare, not calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Hallelujah. There should be something in your future you're looking to. You shouldn't just be treading water, wait until they put you in a box. Amen? You should have a dream that you're moving towards in your life. The whole idea of hope is that tomorrow is going to be better. Tomorrow I'm going to be a step closer. The sense of hopelessness is tomorrow's not going to be better. Tomorrow's going to be the same or worse than it is today. We're to be people of hope. Amen? So number one, you got to know this. You got to embrace this. If you're sitting there and saying, oh, this isn't for me, start saying, this is for me. God's got a big dream for my life. Number two, you've got to be looking for it. Because just knowing it's not enough. You've got to be actively pursuing. You got to be just like I was at the altar saying, God, I'll go to the backside of the desert for six guys if that's what you need. But God, I want to see a nation change. You got to be looking for it. This is Stephen. He's in a crowd of people. It says, being full of the Holy Spirit, he gazed intently into heaven. And he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. You know what I love about this? There's a big crowd around. Stephen's the only one who saw this. Why was he the only one? Because he was the only one gazing intently. He was looking for it. Are you looking for what God's doing in your life? You know, I don't want this to sound critical or anything, but as we see ministries and as we see missionaries and things go places, there's often like work right in front of them to do that they can see, but they can't see it. And so they're over here like praying and dreaming for something else. All the while, there's work to be done for the kingdom of God. It's sad. Amen? There's a lot of work to be done in this church and in this city. Amen? If you don't have a ministry, it's not lack of opportunity. Amen? I'm sorry if I'm stepping on your toes. I say, when I preach, I want to step on your toes and not break them. Amen? But we got to be looking for it. So we've got to know it. We got to be looking for it. We got to be praying for it. I love these words of Moses. Moses said, God, show me your glory. He's praying for it. Show me your glory, God. Are you praying? Are you praying like no one else is praying? Show me your glory. Show me the big dream. Show me what you have for my life. And then lastly, we've got to be transformed. You got to let the Lord transform you. Look at the scripture. It says, we all with an unveiled face, beholding in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed in the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. So he says there we're being transformed into the same image of Jesus from glory to glory. So day by day, we should be becoming more like Jesus. Amen? We're never going to reach that until they put us under. We're not going to reach that goal, but every day, glory to glory, we should be changing and transforming. And here's the thing, and I shared it earlier, that when God gives you a vision, when He gives you a big dream, it's going to be so big and so scary, you're going to be like, I can't do that, and you can't do that. Amen? But God wants to work in you and transform you. Because who you are today cannot do what God's asking you to do in your life. Amen? What He's asking you to do is a different person than you are right now. He wants to transform you into the person that's going to be able to take on that task, to take on that BHAG, to take on that dream, that vision. As I share those things with you, the Lord's done in through our lives. We're so thankful. It's the Lord and to His glory. But I can't begin to boast of any of those and say, you know, I've got this BHAG and I figured it out and we went and accomplished it. It's that the Lord has transformed us. And who we are today is not who left Bedford First Assembly 17 years ago. Amen? I hear people talking about all the time kind of looking backwards, you know, and wanting to go backwards. And of course, ladies, forgive me, but you always want to be younger, right? No matter what, I'm not going to look at any ladies. No matter what your age, you always want to be younger. But you know, If you're going, whoops, I changed scripture with my elbow. If you're going from glory to glory, you don't want to be who you were when you were 20. Amen? Carol's that way all the time. I want to be 20. I wouldn't want to be married to you if you're still 20, right? Do you know who you were when you were 20? So, we've grown together and matured. I don't want to be who I was when I was 20. Amen? If you're living for the Lord, the future's better, not the past. If you think the past is better, you get to the altar this morning, give your life to Jesus, and put the past behind you. I've forgotten what lies behind. I press on to what lies ahead. Amen? And so if you're living that way, that somehow the past was better and all this, put that behind you. The future is better. Amen? We're not scared of the future. We're the children of God. We're not scared of what's happening in our nation, our government, our city, our church, anything. We're not scared. We move forward with God. Amen? Start living that life. Don't let that get you. Be transformed. Allow the Lord to do new in your life. So that we can confidently say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And maybe even better, we could reword this verse if you'll allow me. Christ, who is my strength, He can do all things through me. Amen? It's not about what I can do. It's about what He can do in me and through me. And same for your life. It's about what He can do with you. And He can do all kinds of incredible things in your life that you could never dream of. In the church, I've been a pastor a long time now, and in the church I see it so prevalent that we do what's within our own capacity. Amen? That's the way the church functions. So we need somebody for children's church. We look for someone who has an inkling towards that. Oh, I like children. I want to spend time with them. And I like teaching. And I'm organized. And I can prepare. That's fine. But that's within your capacity. What God's asking you to do in your life is beyond your capacity. Amen? He's asking you to do something that you're not comfortable with. He's asking you to do something you don't necessarily gonna like all the time, because He wants to transform you and be glorified in your life. And so I'm gonna close. It's just 12. Nobody leave. Your kids aren't getting out till 12:15. So when Pastor was given that announcement, Carol said, you gotta finish by 12. And then he said, your kids aren't out till 12:15. She said, okay, 12:15. So we're not done yet, but I do want to close, and you might be saying today, you know, what about my tier 2, tier 3, tier 4 goals? Pastor, I'm here today, and I need a new job. You don't know what's going on in my job, or maybe you've lost your job, or I need a new house. You don't know, like, it's like where we're living. You might say, I want to get married and have a family. I'm not saying any of those goals are bad, but just, are they in the right place? He says, but, amen? But, yeah, you need a new job, but, yeah, you need a new house, but, seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the big dream. Seek first the BHAG God has for your life. Seek His righteousness. Oh, those other things, they'll be added to you. Your needs will be met. Amen? I don't think God wants to keep you from having those things. I don't think they're also the most important thing to the Lord, right? They're not like on His top shelf either. But He doesn't care about those things so much. I'll skip that one. In Mark, I like this verse a lot. He says, Peter began to say to Him, behold, we've left everything to follow you. Jesus, come on, we've left it all to follow you. What's the deal? What about my retirement plan? And Jesus said, truly I say to you, there's no one, say no one, no one who's left house or brothers or sisters or mothers, father, children or farms. And if it was our age, He'd add a few more things in there. Amen. He says, nobody's left those things for my sake and for the gospel's, but that he will receive 100 times as much now in this present age. Like saying, I don't care about, you know, houses or these other things, brothers and sisters and mothers and children and farms, and along with some persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. So listen, if you're consumed with that today and you're saying, man, my number one goal is to get a job or this or that, could you just put that off and say, no, today my number one goal is to glorify God. And if I glorify Him, I know He's got a job for me. So, as we close, what are you willing to do for Jesus? And I added that word in there, suffering, and I don't mean to like live a life of suffering. Very few of us are going to live a life of suffering or in a sense be called to a life of suffering. But I believe all of us, if we're following Jesus, are going to be asked to walk away from something that we want or love. Amen? So we walked away from Bedford, Indiana, and just being home here these 2 weeks, we love Bedford, Indiana. We would love to move back and hang out with you guys more and go fishing and go hunting. I liked what you were saying there, Pastor. People do what they want to do. And you say, people go hunting, go hunting. I haven't been hunting in 17 years, and I love to go hunting. I've probably only fished 2-3 times in 17 years, and I love to go fishing. God's going to ask you to walk away from things you love to bring glory to Him. Amen? It's just the way it is. So what are you willing to do, and then what do you want to do? What do you want to see change? You want to see your church change? Your family change? You want to see a nation change? He's the one who's able. Amen?